Hello and welcome to Eye on Oakland. I'm Chuck Moss, your host, coming to you through the magic of remote Zoom. No, StreamYard. Yeah, same deal. We have one of our favorite people as guests, Renee Courtwright, who is the executive director of the OPC. Now, formerly the Older Persons Commission, do you have a new name, OPC Social? What's going on and why the name change? Welcome to the show.
Well, we're really excited. We rebranded this last year. So in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the establishment of the organization and the 20th anniversary of moving into our wonderful building here on Letica Drive. So yes, we just felt like we needed a fresh new beginning, and we adopted the acronym OPC and added Social and Activity Center, the best place to be 50 plus, because that's who we are and that's what we do.
So does it involve any changes to what you're doing? It's Social Activity Center as opposed to just, you know, the older persons, whatever. I mean, Right. Look, let's say, I mean, I'd say what is the OPC, but I guess it's better to say what don't you do?
Right. Well, and really the descriptive Social and Activity Center has, you wouldn't believe how many people have driven by the building all these years. And once we updated our signage, all of a sudden we had individuals that started walking into the building to really see what was happening, because prior to that, the name didn't really describe this incredible facility that we have here that offers something for everyone 50 plus. And once they walk in the building and they see all the activity, all the arts, the fitness, the aquatics, you know, all that's offered underneath, you know, this 90,000 square foot building, you know, it's just amazing how many people, the awareness wasn't there, and now it is out there. And since the beginning of January, we've had 600 new memberships, people who've walked in the building and registered. The individuals that are 50 plus that live in Rochester, Rochester Hills, and Oakland Township are automatically members because they are supporting the operations of the facility with a 0.32 operational millage. And so they're automatically members. They just need to come in and register. And so through an awareness campaign, a lot of public relations, social media, we've been bringing the individuals in, and it's just been, and it really shows, because of this fresh new look for the center, our fresh new name, we have had such an increase in our foot traffic. Since the beginning of the year, we've had over 34,000 individuals who've walked in the building and participated in some type of activity. And just this last week, okay, just this last week, we had our wellness week, where we had a nice variety of wellness programming. Each day of the week had a theme. We had Mindfulness Monday. We had Teach Me Tuesday. Sorry, I have to do my little cheat sheet. Reinvention Wednesday, Get Together Thursday, and Fitness Friday. And we had different activities happening each day of the week. And we had 4,800 individuals that walked in the facility and participated in some kind of activity last week. So, and that was just 5 days.
That's incredible. looking at the facility as you walk by, it kind of looks like a Cabela's. It's so big. I mean, it's amazing. Now, you are the, let's be honest, you guys are the platinum standard for senior services. And we got a Bloomfield Township here. Bloomfield Seniors is gold, no doubt. But you guys have elevated it beyond that, and you always have. So you're constantly reinventing yourself. So I'm going to just say, what's new?
What's new? Well, this last year, like I said, the rebranding, that was new. And then, you know, this last year, we, you're all aware of the transportation millage that was passed in 2022. And since November 2022, with this added additional funding, we have been able to really expand our transportation services for the individuals living in Rochester, Rochester Hills, and Oakland Township. We've had a 30% increase in the number of rides. This just last year, it was 43,331 rides, and that's getting individuals to dialysis, medical appointments, to the shopping, grocery shopping, and the different stores that are in the area, and then getting them here to the OPC, their personal appointments. We have now, we've expanded hours. We're 6:30 till 8 o'clock at night. We also have expanded opportunities to get individuals to their medical appointments that are in Troy. So we've always gone to Troy Beaumont, but now we have medical facilities that we are taking individuals to that are in the Troy area, Sterling Heights, and also in Auburn Hills. So that's been a wonderful addition. And then there's been a lot of individuals that really are thrilled that we are open late at night. So now that we're open till 8 o'clock at night, we can have disabled, be able to get the disabled that might have jobs in the area, get them home, and get seniors to come for our evening activities here at the OPC. So it has really expanded our offerings for those that are in need of transportation in the area, and we just couldn't be happier. And I mean, we're busy. We've increased our routes. We've added 6 new vehicles, 4 ProMaster vans and 2 minivans, and you can see them around town. I wish I had a picture to show you right now, but they're pretty, as my mom would say, schnazzy. They have our new logo on the side of them, and they're definitely identifiable as you see them drive by. So we're thrilled about that. And then there is a fixed route that's coming into the area up Rochester Road and then turning left on University to go to Oakland University and connect up to other fixed routes from there. And that is happening in April. And again, we're supporting that and helping this expansion of transit opportunity in the area. And, you know, we're all in this together to keep everyone on the move as much as possible. And so, yes, so just to go back again, we are transporting the 55 plus and then those that are disabled that live in Rochester Hills, and Oakland Township.
So let me ask a question. I mean, you're not just a senior center, although you are a phenomenal senior center. You're basically running your own transit system. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's not general population.
Right.
So
if you were funding in a different way.
If you were a standalone transit system, you would be bigger than what? NOTA, WOTA, all those other guys. I mean, you might be third behind DDOT and SMART.
We're all a little bit different. And that's the thing about not only senior centers, but also transit agencies. They're all a little bit different. You know, we're a very concentrated, populated area. So our trips are maybe a little bit less in mileage, where you've got NOTA and WOTA that have a very rural area that they are supporting. And so if you've got houses that are in the northern part of Oxford, but you've got individuals that are needing to get to businesses, to employment that might be in Auburn Hills, then you've got a longer drive. So, you know, that's the thing about transit. That's the thing about senior centers. It's not, they're a little bit different. They all have a little bit different ways that they receive funding and also how they make up in the population. Just different populations require different programming. And you wouldn't believe that. You think, oh, all seniors are the same, but that's not necessarily true. Some would prefer different trips and different activities. And so it is kind of interesting when it comes to transit and to senior centers. You know, we're all doing the same thing. We still have the same mission to support the senior population and keep people on the move. But it's all in the makeup of the communities that you serve that keeps everybody a little bit different.
Yeah.
But still, we're united in our mission.
But it's one size does not fit all. And I'm just intrigued at how you're able to, you know, it's the old idea of transit is that you had one fixed route and everybody you know, got themselves to the bus station and took it down to the same, you know, down to downtown or to the Mr. Ford's factory. That is a world that's all long gone. And that you're able to have a different route every day or a different set of routes every day to pick up different people every day, and you make it work. I think there's a lesson here for the big transit systems.
Yeah, there's something to be said. We can learn from each other. There's no doubt about it.
So, you know, today, by the way, is like it's like an anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I mean, COVID is hopefully just a bad memory. Are there any special long-term things you do differently as a legacy from the COVID years, days?
So an area, something that has come out of COVID is spaces that the classrooms. So our art studios had a moving wall down the middle, and we had 4 8-foot tables all pushed together on both sides for the art programming, for you know, the needleworks and so forth. And what we did during COVID is we opened up that wall and we put in card tables. And so each person has their own space. Well, people love that. They're so appreciative to that space. They don't feel closed in a closed in area. And that is the same thing that we did in our library. So the library had a lot of bookcases. And the books come from the Rochester Hills Public Library, but the space is OPC's, and we can do with it as we choose. So the bookcases now are on the outside walls, but the inside is now we've added tables. So now we have some of our art programming that occurs in the library. The Zentangle, we have a lot of card games that happen in there. It's not a place where people will go necessarily to read, because there is a lot of activity in there. But the library is right down the road, so they can go down and find a quiet place at the library if that be the case. But we have used these spaces to really expand our programming and also provide, really keep in mind that people are very sensitive to being in cloistered areas. That is something that's come out of this. So we've expanded these areas, and it's very appreciated by everyone. And then our atrium is just amazing. In 2020, we added doors into the atrium from our lobby. Prior to COVID, the only way into the atrium was through our adult day service. We added these doors. We worked with a local muralist. His name is Zach Curtis. He actually has a mural on the side of the building in downtown Pontiac. He's a rock star on the Thrifty Florist right there that's on Telegraph. He also has another mural. Anyway, he came in, and the mural is after Monet's Gardens in Giverny, and it is just beautiful, and that's on the wall. We've made it a nice, quiet space. We've taken out one of the areas where there were plants, and now we've made this another multi-purpose room, a room where we can have more programming. So that's what's come out of COVID, is that. And I'm pleased with how we've looked at the spaces differently and met the needs of those that we serve.
Well, it's good to know that you know, things evolve. Me with the tables, it'd be like playing euchre all day. But right, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Renee Courtwright, who is the executive director of the OPC Social and Activity Center. Rochester, one of probably the platinum standard for senior centers right now. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on Eye in Oakland.
When it comes to disasters and emergencies, it's not a matter of if, but when.
I'm relying on luck, but who knows if it'll be on my side.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Take control at ready.gov/olderadults.
Welcome back to Eye on Oakland. I'm Chuck Moss, your host here on coming to you remote. We're talking with Renee Courtwright, Executive Director of the OPC Social and Activity Center. Renamed, rebranded, but nothing fundamentally changed. It's still the platinum standard of local senior centers. So I'm going to ask you kind of a weird question here. If somebody, Birmingham, was starting a new upgraded senior program with a dedicated millage and was going to kind of go from here to there. What advice would you have, maybe top one or two things to really keep in mind? Or is it because everything's different, you can't compare?
No. I think that you really, this is a time to really survey the members, the community members, to find out exactly what they would like out of this space. You know, of course, they've had a very successful program. I'm so impressed with all that they offer at the center there. So, I mean, so you're really kind of taking that and moving that in. But in a sense, what would you like to add to it? And the thing about it is it's always good to benchmark and see what's working in other communities. And really, if you're going to look at that space, how would you do things differently? I mean, I can say for our center here, I wish that our exercise rooms were bigger. When the facility was built, they were a nice size and they still work well, but it would be nice to have a bigger space. So to really kind of go out and go around and see these different centers and go, oh, I like that, I like this, then go back and really talk with those individuals that might be using the center and what they would like to see. I mean, of course, you can't do everything. I recently met with Livonia is adding on 30,000 square feet to their Parks and Rec just dedicated to the seniors. And so they came out and did a walk around here and they kind of saw some areas like, oh, I like that and I like that. But they also need to kind of consider those that they are serving within their community and what they would like. And I just don't, I think that it's just really important that you listen and to those that you're serving, that sometimes in our minds we think that is what people would like, but you really need to hear from, those that are supporting the operations of the center and find out what they would like. And we have done that a lot here. And I can say that like with our Meals on Wheels program, something that we added this last year is a soup and salad bar. We call it the Super Salad Bar, S-O-U-P-E-R, and salad bar. We have that on Fridays and people love it. We started out, we had maybe 30 people that came for it. Now we have 100, and that all came out of listening, and you can't do enough of it. And I just think having the opportunity to hear what people want and then seeing if that's necessarily the right fit in regards to, you know, your real estate. Sometimes you don't have that opportunity to do everything. So it's like, okay, how many people are we going to serve with this comparatively to this? And I think that fitness is so important, having those yoga classes, the chair exercise, dedicating some classes to the Parkinson's, those individuals that are dealing with Parkinson's, maybe MS. You know, these are all something that the 50-plus population are dealing with. And so you just want to keep all that in mind. And, of course, NECT has an incredible lecture series that they always have offered. And I think, of course, continuing to do that because that's part of the mental, the physical, and then, of course, the arts. I think that you can't do enough with the arts. Our classes here are busting out of the seams. Every class has a waiting list now. And that necessarily, you know, coming out of COVID was slow, but now our art classes, every single one of them, I think everybody has come out of COVID realizing how important it is. Number one, I always say the nucleus of what we do here is the socialization. So getting people together so they can make those connections. And then from there, there's the next step, which is these wonderful art classes that individuals can take, you know, the pottery and our wood shop, the, you know, the painting classes, the Zentangle. I mean, having that creative outlet is just so important. And then, I have to do a big shout out to our music program here. We have a guitar group that there's probably 35 strong, a ukulele group that's up to 22 people. We have our theater program. So it really comes back to, where do you want to put your focus? And I think there's the mental and the physical and the social. You pull those all together, and then you just decide from there what you think is going to work best for your space.
Well, I know that a couple of years ago, there was this obscure game that you guys got involved in called pickleball. Well, now pickleball is everything. Pickleball is like absorbed, it's eaten the world. So you guys, of course, were a leader with pickleball. Is there anything coming up that might be the next pickleball? Or is like pickleball just like, this is it?
In my mind, pickleball is it. I have heard of a new game that's from Europe, which is kind of like a takeoff of the pickleball. But the deal is everything, then it takes a new court, it takes a new net, it takes holes in the, you know, for that, all of that. Nah, we're not going there. I don't see that. Pickleball is it. I'm a big pickleball player. I love playing. So not that I'm not going to try something new if something new comes around. But at this point in time, I would say we have a program, the pickleball sign-up program. And right now we have over 650 people that are registered in that program. And that's what they have to go in order to sign up for the different pickleball opportunities at the center. So that just goes to show you, and I know more people would like to play, and they're always trying to figure out ways how we could add more courts here. Right now we have 4 indoor courts. We'd love to get some outdoor courts, but of course everything takes money.
Yes.
But for now, we're doing pretty good. I would say it's about 80% of our gym use is pickleball. And if they could do it 100%, they would.
Well, you look like you're tennis and like racket sports.
Yeah.
I never did that. I'm a swimmer.
Yeah.
So obviously lap swimming to me, that's it. You know.
Exactly.
So you have that.
Yes, we do have that, and our pools are full as well. We have a Zumba class that's in the evening that the instructor is just phenomenal. She's fabulous, Fabiola. But anyway, needless to say, there's about 25 women, between 20 and 25 women that participate in our Zumba, water Zumba, of course. And then, of course, we always have our lap swim. We always have a lap open when there is even a class in the pool. And then we have our therapy pool, which also offers exercise classes. But it's a great benefit to individuals that are rehabbing from some type of a surgery. Having that warmer pool up to 94 degrees really helps aid in just the gentleness on the body with that warmer pool. So that's very beneficial to our population.
Well, I hate cold water, so I get it. I get in and swim in it, but I don't like it. You know? And I just do the laps. I go back and forth, you know. And so now, you know, now I think we can firmly establish that baby boomers are seniors. I mean, that's it, you know, sorry, you know, hope I die before I get old. Well, not even Peter Townsend ended up doing that. So, do baby boomers require a different approach, or is it just like, you know, let's just more rock and roll soundtrack?
Oh, right. No, not really. I mean, it's funny. We have a nice mix here. I would say our median age is around 70. In regards to participants, but we have a really healthy 90-year-old group, 90 plus, that participates. And, you know, everybody has a nice recommendations that they offer us along the way, and we do what we can do. But in general, I think everybody's pretty cooperative. I couldn't be happier. And honestly, I want to do a big shout out to our team. We have an incredible team here that, you know, throughout the facility, the fitness and the aquatics. We have, of course, the programs in the arts, the enrichment area. And then we have our travel, a volunteer department. What would we do without our volunteers? They provide, provide over, 29,000 hours or 30,000 hours. And in the state of Michigan, they equate $31 per hour to a volunteer hour. So that's saving our operations about $1 million every year. And then, of course, we have our adult day service, and that is a wonderful opportunity for respite for the caregivers. And those individuals that we serve in adult day service have early onset dementia. Of course, the Meals on Wheels program, we have all of our individuals in the nutrition department, the transportation department, the maintenance, the finance, the HR, you know, the list goes on and on. But all I can say is we couldn't do what we do without an incredible team. And I really always want to commend our staff on their wonderful customer service that they provide each
and every day. Well, you've got a great team. Now, let's say, looking to the future, everybody said there would be more seniors, and there are. What are you looking like in the next 5 years? What will, as you look forward planning, are you seeing any trends that 5 years from now you'll look a little different? More pickleball, right. Hopefully, but what are you looking at 5 years from now?
Well, you know what we did this last year is we actually received a grant from the Home Depot Foundation, and we added above ground gardens, the container gardens, and it has a nice fence around it to keep the deer out. And this has really been a big interest to our membership. So that's we are actually going to add a few more gardens in that area this spring. I would say, you know, it's the art programming. It's the enrichment program. I think looking at it in a sense, we're a mini university. People want to learn more. They want to really expand their horizons. And I think that's what we need to, we will be continually doing within this next year, is looking at our programming. And we always benchmark other facilities throughout the United States to see what they offer and see what we could do a little bit differently. But I think lifelong learning is really, you know, you hear that a lot, but that's it. Lifelong learning and the fitness and aquatics, keeping them, keep moving is really important for this population. And so, you know, that's where we're at in that regard.
Well, for me, just going into Home Depot, wandering around and finding anything is exercise enough on my mind. But you're really, you know, to be commended, because we've been saying this for years and you've actually done it. And there are a lot of lessons for the rest of us who are kind of getting ready to kind of moving up to bigger and better levels as we deal with our more seniors. Not meaning me, of course. No, not at all. But anyway, I'm 70, so, you know, but you're too far for me to drive. I'm going to have to be a little bit closer. So I'm hoping next is doing it. Well, we're talking with Renee Courtwright, who is the executive director of the OPC Social and Activity Center. Name changed, freshened up a bit, but in no way deviating from the primary function. Sort of setting this example for all of us. Thank you for joining us, Renee. I'm Chuck Moss. Thank you to all of you for joining us here on Eye on Oakland.